Good morning and welcome to Green Rock Radio. I'm your host, Dale Howie. On AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, as opposed to the backward voice of the opposition. Anyway, good morning. And today I've got a topic near and dear to my heart. Food. I guess it's closer to my stomach. So
that is your heart.
Yeah.
Is it your stomach?
This is what drives me. Anyway, my little girl was funny. She likes to talk in this cartoon voice this morning, and I'm not even going to try to say it how she says it, but she's just playing around with words. She says, "Daddy, I have a future, and it's tomorrow." And it just cracks me up. So anyway.
Adorable kids.
10.
Yes, adorable
yes, yes. So today our guests are Mike Dital.
Morning.
It's French, you know?
It's French, man.
A little bit.
And so I'm kind of in with Mike today because we're gonna do some experimental farming in the city, and we're gonna talk about that today. And also sitting in with us today is Aaron Brockovich. No, not Aaron Brockovich. Aaron Blythe is the farm manager of Big River Farms, a program of the Minnesota Food Association. Big River Farms runs an immigrant and historically underserved farmers training program on 40 acres of farmland in Marine on the St. Croix, Minnesota. The farmers at Big River Farm represent folks from Laos, Burma, Kenya, Mexico, Somali, Guatemala, the north side of Minneapolis, and beyond. Farmers at Big River Farms get access to an intensive training program and to organically certified land to grow their farm business. To support their work and to provide markets for farmers, Big River runs a 160-member CSA where over half of the produce is grown by farmers in training. Almost all of the farmers at Big River Farms live in and around St. Paul and commute to their farms as often as they can. Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, welcome, y'all. I wish I could be there. It sounds like you're having fun in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Always.
It's always a party. Yeah, we have chilled organic vodka in the station here, and every time anybody says electric car, we take a shot.
Right. So, you didn't mention that when you invited me to the farm.
I forgot that. Sorry. I apologize.
That's a big draw.
I have an excuse for forgetting.
Vodka. It's not just for breakfast anymore. When you told me what you do, I just thought, cool. That's really interesting what you do and intriguing. Can you kind of give us a little bit more background, Aaron?
Yeah. So we're out on Marina on St. Croix, which is just about 10 miles north of Stillwater. And we're part of a broader, the Big River Farms is a program of the Minnesota Food Association.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about a 100-acre farm out here. We farm about 20 of those acres actively in vegetables and then another 20 or so in hay for right now. And we run an incubator farm program. So basically working with, like you said, immigrants and historically underserved farmers, they come to us. It's a 3-year program. They're able to take classes, about 20 classes during the season, during the wintertime and during the season, rent land from us that's like organically certified. We help them. We do an umbrella certification, but also get them individually certified as their own farm. And they can get up from a quarter acre the first year up to an acre the second year, up to 2 acres the third year. And then through that training and through that process, we also try to find markets for them and help them kind of access their own markets, which is a real issue for any farmer who's trying to get going in this business.
Who thought this idea up? I just think this is, to me, I mean, I was raised on I grew up around farms and stuff in Jamestown, North Dakota. And who thought of this? Who's the brainchild of this thing?
I don't know. I think it's been kind of a progression over time. You know, we got into the business as an organization back in the late 90s.
Late 90s.
And I think honestly what they were looking for at the time was a funding source for just keeping involved with food. And there was some interest from the federal government in getting some training accessible to all the different immigrants who were trying to come into the U.S. and still wanted to farm.
You're influenced by our evil central government.
I know. luckily, it looks like they cut all of our funding from the farm bill that they just passed. So we
what?
Might
what?
Well, it looks like they did this farm bill kind of package at the last minute, on January 1st or whatever, to make us from not going over the fiscal cliff. And right now it could get re-added, but a lot of those programs that sort of address the New Beginning Farmer programs, they're all kind of slowed off.
The veins in my head are popping.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense. Pennywise, pound foolish. We were just on the car in here. We were just talking about all these cool Minnesota movies that were made. Untamed Heart. There's quite a number of them. And the reason it went away is because the Republicans, and I'm sorry, it's a partisan deal, because Republicans, with their genius of pinching pennies, cut all the funding for encouragement or the outfit that coordinated, movie or theaters or anybody who's wanted to produce a movie to do business in Minnesota. And all that business went away. And he said, for I think it was a couple hundred thousand, for a couple hundred thousand, they lost billions in business for the state.
That's pretty wild.
And, I'm arguing with people at the, in the plumbing store when I'm purchasing things for my rental property business. They're arguing me, well, we shouldn't rebuild the downtown bridge. I mean, these are the geniuses that are the Republican Party. The city's losing $500,000, or it was like $500 million in business a day, and these geniuses think that they shouldn't put the bridge up because it costs money.
Yeah.
So it's the same mentality that we're talking about here, and it's the same thing with climate change or anything else. We really have to get it together and know that we are much stronger helping each other than we are at the policy of, well, gee, I got mine, screw you. Which is seems like an undercurrent on the right.
Hey, Aaron, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I was recently, raised in St. Paul. And in St. Paul, they have a very large Hmong population, and they're very good farmers. And when I was growing up, I remember, they'll have like a little farm on the boulevard. They'll just take over the boulevard and start planting there. I thought that was just so cool. Is your organization helped, and are they involved with your organization, or because you said you help the underserved farmers?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we first got started again in the late 90s, all the way through about 2006 or 7, it was predominantly Hmong that were in our program.
Yeah.
A few Latinos as well, but is a huge Hmong contingency, and they're definitely, when you're looking at immigrant farming population, the Hmong are up there just in terms of total numbers.
Yep.
And just their dedication to it.
Yep.
Now what we've seen is that it's broadened quite a bit. I'd say in the last 4 or 5 years we've moved into more Latinos interested in it.
Sure.
Definitely if you're familiar with the Karen population, they're from Burma. Similar story to the Hmong, and so much as they're an indigenous group from Burma that's been persecuted for a while and found Minneapolis to be a home.
Yeah.
We work with them pretty heavily. Our executive director's from worked in Burma for about 17 years,
okay.
So he's pretty he's got a special place in his heart for the Karen. But yeah, the Hmong are incredible, and we actually had Mei Lee from Mom Paul's Garden, the name of her farm. She's the first certified organic Hmong grower in Minnesota.
Do you do any work with youth farm to market?
We don't, unfortunately. I haven't actually had hardly any contact with them. I know our executive director, Glenn Hill, has worked with them a little bit. And it's a shame. I think they're a little bit further. We're fairly far outside of the city. We're 45 minutes outside, and so I don't think we get into the city quite as often as we should in some ways. But we haven't, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what Mike and I are doing? Mike Dutala sitting in, and I'd like to introduce everybody.
Refresh
to Mike. Could you refresh us about who the hell are you?
Me? Oh my goodness. Well, I've been gardening and farming for a better portion of my life, but pretty seriously for, again, the last 10 years or so. And
the rumor is that you got like 3 pineapple trees growing in your 300 square foot apartment.
Blasted pineapple trees again every single time. I do have a lot of pineapples growing around, and it's the only thing my cat can't seem to destroy when she goes up and chews on it. So, That's why they're still there. Still fruitless after many years, just poking around, basically. But no, we are, Dale and I are definitely on board with trying to get an urban CSA going. And Dale and I worked on a few farm projects, and I've cut my teeth around the city working on a bunch of different urban projects with various degrees of success. And we've got a kind of a nice formula going. So we really would like to start a urban farm-to-table and CSA, actually, within, well, this summer. We've got some beautiful, beautiful plots, some beautiful soil, and some beautiful people.
Well, our concept, and we kind of banged heads on this when we first started, is, you know, Aaron, you were saying you're a little bit outside of the city. And our thought is, you know, if you look at the, I try to be holistic when I'm looking at climate change. I mean, my thing is getting off fossil fuels. And I'm energy centric on all of this because that is the crux of the problem. It's going to be the problem with water. It's going to be the problem with your agriculture. I mean, all this stuff could easily dry up and blow away if we don't get our act together and get off fossil fuels. Because the amount of water that they have to suck out of the aquifers for fracking and for the oil exploration in North Dakota, I mean, all that's going to come down on us like a ton of bricks here in the next 10 years. And that's what they're saying our timeline is, to try and change this. So everybody needs to focus on figuring out ways to reduce their fossil fuel use. Burn methane from hogs. You know, I know, you know, whole farms that are running on alternative fuel. So anyway, we got to go to break, but we're going to come right back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Dale Howie, on Green Rock Radio.
Climb NISA would like to bring you this moment of silence on behalf of nature, future generations, the Nissan Leaf, and your wallet.
This moment of silence is to remind you that only a zero-emissions vehicle does not use an engine, burns no fossil fuels, and has no tailpipe. So be sure not to fall for any tricks when you are out shopping for your EV. Check for a tailpipe. Your future, the world around you, and nature will thank you. Great lease offers and purchase programs available. It's easier than you think to reduce your carbon footprint and save money, all with one simple solution. Find Nissan, your Nissan Leaf headquarters, located in Maplewood, Minnesota, off 694 and Highway 61. Call our EV Leaf specialist, Adam or Chris, for your introduction to the all-electric, zero-emissions Nissan Leaf. Today, at 651-379-4300, or find us at KleinNissan.com/Leaf.
Jack Rice here. I'm pleased to bring you the Jack Rice Show every Sunday on AM 950. We wrap up the week nationally and locally. It really is a different kind of show. We bring experts to offer an informed perspective to our stories, and sometimes we get into conversations that no one expected. Tune in every Sunday from 7 to 9 a.m. and again from 4 to 6 p.m. Listen to previous shows on AM950radio.com or with our free Android app. Listen to the Jack Rice Show this Sunday only on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Lunch can be a rush, so make it a delicious one for under $10. Backstreet Kitchen's buffets change daily and range from Italian, Mexican, and barbecue to good old Minnesota fish fry all day Friday. It's a great location for business meetings, but if you're on the go, they also prepare boxed lunches. Backstreet Kitchen offers a family-friendly casual lunch or great catered event near 169 south of Valley View Road on Washington Avenue in Eden Prairie. More at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces with something I'd like to share with you.
Thanks, Woodland Stoves. We were looking for a fireplace insert this fall to help with our very inefficient fireplace, so we went to Woodland Stoves, and the service was phenomenal. The staff went out of their way to explain things and make sure that we got exactly what we needed. After looking at a few displays, we were able, with a little help, to figure out that we needed an energy-efficient soapstone fireplace. It would help heat more than just the one room. We love it, and it's cut our heating bill. And there's hardly a day lately that we don't have a fire going. Thank you, Woodland Stoves.
Stop in and see and feel how cozy a fire can be. We have over 30 working units on display at 2901 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, where Riverside and Franklin meet, or online at woodlandstoves.com. Enjoy an environmentally smart fire from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
And welcome back to the Green Rock Radio Show. And today we're talking about farming and urban farms.
Urban farming.
And a kind of a pilot project that we're working on with Mike Dutal here, who's in the studio. And we are talking with Aaron Brockovich. No, not Aaron Brockovich. Aaron Blythe, who is the farm manager of Big River Farms, a program of Minnesota Food Association. Welcome back, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So we were talking a little bit about the role of fossil fuels in farming when we left earlier. And so our concept, Aaron, and we have no idea if this is going to fly or not. We're hopeful, but we're trying to get to fossil fuel-free food. And my idea, I've kind of looked at my business and looked at my whole life and said, okay, I see the trajectory. I see where we're going. High 90s of scientists in the world agree that global warming is happening. It's happening faster than they thought. Some estimates are 40% of the planet will be uninhabitable by the end of the century. I mean, that's the stuff I'm reading. Oh, Chris left. Chris from Blaine. I think he was the tax guy. He was the tax guy called in last week.
I don't know.
Chris from Blaine, you can call us back.
Chris, come call us back.
Man.
Yeah.
Come back. He's a tax man from Blaine, and anyway, he called up saying that last week, saying that if you raise our taxes 100%, we have to raise all our prices 100%. What a load of crap that is. For one, the market won't take it. All it is about, greed. Simple. Greed. Not one of the higher, loftier goals of humankind, but it somehow seems that the Republicans think it's a virtue. I don't know where they get that from. I don't think greed is in the Bible anywhere in a positive light. How does that, what does that saying go in the Bible? It's easier for a, it's easier to thread a camel through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven.
On the fifth day, Reagan said, greed is good, and that was, I'm
Actually, Reagan, the Republicans paint Reagan into a corner that he's not. You know, they've twisted his legacy all over the place, and I don't even think anybody knows who Reagan was anymore.
Oh, that man was brilliant with jelly beans. Come on.
Brilliant with jelly beans. Oh, look at the little picture he made. So, Aaron, okay, let's get away from bashing Republicans and conservatives this morning. So, because I know a lot of good conservatives and who are on board with this this idea, and they're more fiscal conservatives. I mean, what is those words? We don't even know what those words mean anymore because they've been bantied about so much.
Sure.
You know, liberal government can be used as a tool for good, like we're seeing in this example. You know, we pass the hat. Taxes are just the hat getting passed to do good things with it. You know, and it's kind of giving it to the church, we elect our leaders. And you know, if you think all politicians suck, well, who's the comedian? Carlson?
I don't know.
Not Karl Rove. Karl Rove's a comedian. Did you know that, Aaron? George Carlin. Hello.
George Carlin.
I knew it was
Carl
something. George Carlin. He said, if you think all the politicians suck, well, who elects them? Well, the public sucks. That's a great campaign slogan. The public sector sucks. Which I kind of agree with him. We elect these guys, and then we hire them to make decisions for our best interests. See how well that's working, people? So who do we call on this, Aaron? Who do we talk to try and get your funding reinstated for this program?
Yes.
That's a good question. You know, I'm not the best people who are working on this, too, you guys should definitely support a lot. I just went to a CSA conference at the Wisconsin Farmers Union this week, and they were talking a lot about it. It's an organization called Land Stewardship Project here in Minessota. If people are interested in this issue at all, they've been working on it way more than I have and following the nuts and bolts of it. But
do you happen to know the website or whatever to check that out? Is it landstewardshipproject.org?
Google Land Stewardship Project, you'll get it. But I think it is just landstewardshipproject.org.
Yep.
No, I can probably look it up right here while I'm talking to you.
Landstewardshipproject.org.
Okay.
And they really are phenomenal. They've done a lot in terms of getting Minneapolis or a lot of the local kind of whatever you call it, laws or whatever it is in place here for getting urban farms. Land Stewardship Project has been very instrumental in that. Good bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all across the board, they do a great job of supporting growing food in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what our goal is to see how much food we can produce with the land that we have just around. So I have rental property in Minneapolis, and we're just going to see how much food we can produce just around the land around our buildings, and to see what kind of impact we can have. So,
yeah, and you mostly grow on vegetables?
Well, we're growing everything. We're doing foodscaping, so grasses, grains, whatever. We're going to try growing everything
all vegetables,
everywhere.
Basically, yeah. You know, no cover crops or grains, cereal grains or anything like that. So.
And we're going to try the Peace Coffee model, and we're going to actually run it around town on bikes, on electric bikes, and either solar-powered electric equipment or just pedal power.
You've even got an electric car to drop some stuff off.
Oh, Nissan Leaf.
We've got two. We drove here in a Nissan Leaf, and I love that. It's a fantastic vehicle. But anyway, I digress. What are we talking about here? The reason this is important to me, and this is the problem, because everything we've had set up for farming all revolves around high energy use,
yes.
Fossil fuels.
Sure. Yep.
But
sure.
The problem is that the tool that we're using to grow all this food is killing us, because they require, to do the fracking, to do the oil exploration, they need 4 times per barrel of whatever they're bringing up of water to get it out. And then you have toxic water. And so now what the EPA has approved is to truck this water with diesel trucks 1,000 miles from whatever site they are, like the North Dakota Bakken Fields, and dump it into a deep well. And they said, oh, the little bit of stuff that leaches off into the surface water, that's not a problem. You know, you can torch your water in your sink, but it's not a problem.
Safe to drink.
Yeah. It's, you know, how much intake of methane is okay.
Ah.
You know, I thought methane was supposed to be coming out the other end, not going in the front end. So, Aaron, do you see any room for reduction of your fossil fuel use while you're doing all this training? And I mean, a lot of this is just hand labor, right?
Yeah, I mean, what we're working on is, you know, we use tractors for sure, and I think, you know, you're talking about organic farmers. We're just as guilty in a lot of ways of using a lot of diesel, depending on what the scale is. But obviously, it's different than when you're using fertilizer and everything else. But mm-hmm. but our scale is pretty small. You know, we do about 20 acres, and we use tractors for tilling and putting in the cover crop and putting in compost and whatnot. But you know, we're really working with quarter acre, 1 acre, 2 acre plots, and it's all hand scale, hand harvest, hand weeding.
I watched your little film you had on your website, and give us the website for what you're doing again.
Yeah, it's just MN Food Association, spelled out, .org. And that'll get you right to us.
Okay, and then. Is that where you had that video? You have a really nice presentation on that.
Yeah, I think I should look at it. But yeah, we have a couple videos that we've done recently. You know, you guys caught me in January, man, where, like, I'm on vacation for the most part.
Perfect.
My brain's kind of churned off in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he wouldn't come in the studio because he's sitting there in his underwear still.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, sucking on his coffee. Hey, we're going to go to break now, Aaron. Can you hold on?
Yeah.
We'll be right back on Green Rock Radio.
Young men just don't seem to listen to the radio anymore. They're too busy with their ear pods and TV games.
It's iPods and video games?
Whatever. Point is, young men are probably not listening to me right now, but they will listen to you. So I need you to remind them to register with Selective Service when they turn 18. It's an easy way to keep the door open to important benefits like college loans and government jobs. And it's the law. So please, feel free to remind them to go to sss.gov or any post office to register.
Bob Sorg here from 212 Gifts. I've been getting a lot of grief from our loyal customers and my Queen Barbara that I don't talk more about our great selection of American-made jewelry. These unusual pieces are made from semi-precious stone and sterling silver, sure to make heads turn at all price ranges. Our selection of purses are made by very talented artists, and you will not find them anywhere else. 212 Gifts has a fantastic selection of special items, making it easy for you to find a thoughtful present for any occasion. 212 Pottery, a hot spot in Cool Part of Town.
It's time to experience the amazing flavors of EatLocalMinnesota.com. It's your key to unlocking the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities. See how EatLocalMinnesota.com can point you to that perfect one-of-a-kind spot. Lisa, chef and owner of Mona, will delight you with her seasonal menu of creative small plates inspired by local farmers. Great wine at reasonable prices and free underground parking every night after 4. Tuesdays, enjoy 4 plates and a carafe of wine for only $35 per couple. Mona Restaurant and Bar, downtown Minneapolis on 8th Street in the Accenture Tower. Lunch can be a rush, so make it a delicious one for under $10 at Backstreet Kitchen. Their chef knows great sandwiches start with great bread. Don't miss the all-you-can-eat buffets that change daily, from Italian to smoke and barbecue, and Friday's all-day fish fry. Backstreet Kitchen, near 169 and Valley View Road on Washington Avenue in Eden Prairie. More at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Ian Levitt here with an important message from Laughing Matters host and self-proclaimed John Cusack double, Robert Burrill. Robert has made many New Year's resolutions: to gain weight, to embrace commitment, and to be funny. He's broken all of them. So this year, Robert will not resolve to be a smarter host, have insightful shows, or play any music not found on his Rock of Ages soundtrack. He will, however, try to make John Boehner cry. Listen to Laughing Matters Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on AM 950, sponsored by Stand Up Records. Online at standuprecords.com.
By supporting the advertisers that support this station, you're keeping Minnesota's economy strong. By keeping your money in the local economy, you're supporting small, locally owned businesses that give back to their communities. And if you find a business that doesn't advertise at AM 950, tell them they should. And make sure that when you do shop locally, you tell them you heard their ads right here on AM 950. And as always, be sure to visit AM950radio.com for lists of advertisers, upcoming events, and our always free web stream of your favorite AM 950 shows.
AM 950 weather brought to you by Hazel's Northeast. There's a slight chance of snow today before noon. It will be breezy with winds around 20 miles an hour and gusts as high as 35. Tonight, the scattered flurries continue. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 5. Scattered flurries possible before noon tomorrow. It will be partly sunny with a high near 10. EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Hazel's Northeast, the ideal neighborhood restaurant with real good food made from scratch. On 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis, more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
And welcome back to the Green Rock Radio Show. Good morning. I'm your host, Dale Howie, and we're sitting in here with Aaron Brockovich. I mean, Aaron, dagnabbit, now I got that in my head. Aaron Blythe. Good morning, Aaron. I usually get people's names right by the end of the show.
Yeah, no, you know, that's good.
Sometimes.
I could be in Brockovich today. Sometimes it's good to get out of being Scottish, you know? A little more Eastern European.
Oh, you're a Scot, are you?
He's in Scotland, huh?
All right, then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I lived over in Germany for a while. It was fun going over the British Isles, Welsh, and the Scots. And if you're a Welsh, you sound like you got a bloody flute stuck in your throat. And if you're Irish, you sound like you got a terrible hangover. And if you're a Scot, you sound like you're pissed all the time.
Oh, gosh.
So we were just talking to say we can't say certain words on the radio. And I said, well, you could say it in Dutch. Poopia. Poopia, poopia, poopia. And you can all look that up. So
we've just added one more Dutch speak. 13 million left in the world today. So
actually, it's in the thousands.
Maybe 19.
I don't know.
But
anyway,
Dutch,
Aaron,
there's 20 million of them.
You know what?
I think
we want to get back to the basics here. JT over here screaming, Emily, just define a CSA. Tell people what a CSA is.
What the heck is it?
Can you do that for us, Aaron? What is a CSA?
Define what a CSA is? Yeah, I mean, at its fundamental level, it's basically a bunch of consumers that are willing to support a farm and take control to some degree of where their food's coming from and learning where their food comes from and make sort of a conscious choice to say, hey, the industrial food system's not necessarily working for the planet and for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so finding a farm that they can support and helping them out. And so the way the CSA model works in general, the generic form, is, you know, it's basically a group of people. Like, we have 160 members, which essentially means we have about 160 families that support us. They give us money up front in the beginning of the season when all of our seed costs are accruing you know, all the labor hours that we put in from March until June before we actually get anything to harvest, all that's getting paid for. They give us the money up front, and then we give them 18 weeks of vegetables throughout the season, delivered somewhere near them is kind of the basic model.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really fabulous way for folks from the city to kind of get a sense of what agriculture is, get a sense of, you know, what can Minnesota grow at this time, you know, different times throughout the year.
So you start putting up hoop houses in March. I think you said you started planting at the end of March. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we do, you know, we have a greenhouse where we're like about 60 to 70% of everything that we put in the ground is actually grown as starts, little plant transplants. Mm-hmm. So we start planting in the greenhouse sometime in first week of March. And then we have a couple hoop houses, which are unheated plastic houses that we actually plant in the ground in. We plant tomatoes. We did done hoop house strawberries before. We do a lot of salad mix and spinach in the fall, those kind of things. Yeah, so we can get, you know, by, usually depends on the season, but usually by early April we've got tomatoes in the ground already, which is about a month earlier than if you were doing it outside.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing people don't know is what is an acre?
What is an acre?
We throw out these acres, but all these city folk don't have any idea what an acre is.
An acre, what is that?
Yeah. Well, it's about 208 feet by 208 feet.
Uh-huh.
So it's about 43,560 square feet, I think, is what it is. Not that that gives you, you know, so it's about, if you think about it, what, a football field is 300 feet, essentially, 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about, you know, two-thirds of a foot. Wait, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to
well,
do the
well,
math
just
right here,
think football field. That's close enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
but it's a pretty good-sized acre. You know, an acre, you can grow a lot of food on an acre of land. People in the, who come to our farm, you know, who want a farm here, you know, we tell them that they can have a quarter acre the first year, and they kind of scoff at that because they think, oh, I could do an acre. But once you're out there in the field, it's a quarter acre or an acre is a lot of land to be working, especially if you're working it by hand.
Right. I've got a half acre in Roseville, and I look up and down the street, and all the houses have half acre. They have half acre to 2 acre sites, and
really?
It's all indoor outdoor carpeting. You know, and they're mowing it, they're using the equipment on Saturday morning or Sunday morning when it's most obnoxious, and what they're doing is preventing all the breeding grounds for Japanese beetles, which love lawns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Japanese beetles love lawns because birds go down, they clean them out if the soil's bare or whatever, and they don't like tall grass. They love mowed, manicured lawns. It's easy access to the roots. They'll destroy most of your lawn. So people are busy poisoning themselves trying to get rid of this beetle that, you know, they're providing habitat for. So it started, I think, in 55. What are you guys doing for Japanese beetles?
You know, we just started seeing Japanese beetles last year for the first time. They came onto some, we grow some edamame soybeans,
mm-hmm,
for our customers, and they haven't been an issue whatsoever up until last year. And then even last year and this year, they were on our soybeans, and we saw them on some other crops. They didn't do enough damage for us to do anything about it, really.
Yeah, they seem to come on later in the season, and they defoliate, like, at the end of the season after most of the berries and stuff are on there. But they have been going after my plums and my raspberries and eating, you know, actually eating the berry. So,
really?
Yeah. And there's...
Yeah,
Go ahead. No, after you.
Well, yeah, and then, so, you know, we don't have a lot of the berries and fruit that you're talking about, and mm-hmm, it hasn't been an issue for us, but I know they're coming, and I think that they're coming more and more each year, and we haven't really devised a plan yet. But
well, my personal weapon of choice is a shop vac.
The shop vac, yeah, that works. If you got a small enough scale, that's a great way to do it.
2 acres of shop vac and beetles. Oh, yeah. Boy.
And a long extension cord.
Keep it electrical, folks. Come on.
Electrical.
So anyway, if anybody's got any comments or questions, we're at 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. If you don't like anything that we had to say on the air, too bad. So call in and give us a hard time. 952-946-6205. And let's see. So our model is, like I said, going to try and reduce fossil fuel use. But what are some things that you could do when you're out there working with people? You're doing the prep and stuff, but how much really do you use in fossil fuels? Is it where does the fossil fuel get used the most?
Well, it definitely gets used the most in the tractors, and then in the driving the produce into the city once a week is probably where we use it the most. We use so to give you an understanding, you know, for 20 acres, we have a 200-gallon farm diesel tank, and we usually go through about, you know, 100 to 120 gallons of diesel for that 20 acres for the season.
Actually, that's less than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's not as much as, I mean, that's the thing, is it, you know, it doesn't take that many hours to get the tractor to work up the ground and to do things. And so if you're not really using it in the field every day, doing the cultivation, doing mechanical harvesting with it, it isn't that much. You know, and I think there's an argument to be made. You know, my wife commutes into town a little bit, taking my daughter to school, and I can tell you we use a lot more diesel or a lot more gas driving the 15 minutes in the Stillwater that we do a couple times.
You should get a Leaf. You could knock that out, and it pays for itself.
Yeah, so, we've talked about it. We've definitely talked about it. But I think that, you know, I lived in California for a while on a farm that was fairly big, and we had people visit, and people would say, you know, we got to reduce fossil fuel in farming. It's killing the planet, and that's absolutely true, and we do need to do that. But, you know, it was always funny because they were the same people who would then drive across California to go camping or do whatever, and so we have to think about it holistically. And
exactly.
And it's definitely part of me that if we're gonna use fossil fuels in this country, then I think one of the best ways we can use it appropriately is to do some farming with it and grow some food with it.
Sure, and just keep it for construction or whatever vehicles, but all this little transportation stuff, I mean, you could get rid of that. We've successfully been able to integrate a Nissan, just a short-range electric car in our lives, and then we have a modified Prius. So I think I filled up the Prius like 3 or 4 times last year that are 10 gallons, and that's all the gas we use all year. And so, you know, this the Leaf, it's got a towing capacity. I don't know if Nissan will tell you that, but it does. So we've been able to knock out fossil fuel almost completely off of our house with solar. We produce our own solar and for my business. So I think we're up to like 50, 60,000 watts of solar so far.
Wow.
And so, and we're going to keep going. I'm just getting warmed up. And when we're done with my house, we're going to come and do yours, Aaron.
I appreciate it.
Yes, we are. Gulf Solar.
Because money doesn't mean a whole lot when you don't have a planet to live on. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
I love going back to that. Reagan used these visual aids. You know, you had gold bars on one side of the scale, and the planet on the other side of the scale. And he was arguing. He's using this visual to argue that you can have both a good economy and a healthy planet. And this was, of course, highlighted in the Gore movie, An Inconvenient Truth. But he's like, gold bars, those look good. The planet, gold bars, the entire planet. You know, I mean, that's kind of what we're at now at this point in time. We have to make a conscious decision. Greed and die for a short while, or change our ways and be fruitful and stop multiplying.
I have a question for you, Aaron.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of hydrogen powered cars, you know, starting to come up in the future here. Have you seen any of these advances in the farming industry using hydrogen powered vehicles?
I haven't, but I'm not sure that I have my hand on the pulse of that.
What kind of question is that to ask a farmer?
And really,
I apologize.
No, it's great. Okay, I wish I knew the answer for you, but you know, I think it is trickier when you're talking about the difference between, you know, the amount of torque you need for a lot of the track to work. One thing that is happening a lot is cultivating tractors, which are usually real small tractors that go pretty slow. The engine's in the front and it's offset a little bit so you can look straight down at the crop you're cultivating on. It's what a lot of small farmers use. They've actually, probably the model of choice is this Alice Chalmers model, and they've been able to convert that to an electric model.
Really?
And I've got there's quite a few farmer friends who have solar panels hooked up, and I think Loon Organics, which is near Hutchinson.
I think they have two of those now, don't they?
Yeah. I know they have at least one. They might have two, yeah. So there's folks doing that, which is fantastic, because you just don't need the same amount of torque for that.
Okay, Aaron, we got to go to break, but stay with us. We're going to do the wrap-up after these messages. You're listening to Green Rock Radio on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Klein Nissan would like to bring you this moment of silence on behalf of nature, future generations, the Nissan Leaf, and your wallet.
This moment of silence is to remind you that only a zero-emissions vehicle does not use an engine, burns no fossil fuels, and has no tailpipe. So be sure not to fall for any tricks when you're out shopping for your EV. Check for a tailpipe. Your future, the world around you, and nature will thank you. Great lease offers and purchase programs available. It's easier than you think to reduce your carbon footprint and save money, all with one simple solution. Klein Nissan, your Nissan Leaf headquarters, located in Maplewood, Minnesota, off 694 and Highway 61. Call our EV Leaf specialist, Adam or Chris, for your introduction to the all-electric, zero-emissions Nissan Leaf. Today, at 651-379-4300, or find us at KleinNissan.com/Leaf.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Sleep Number. Some people float this incredibly odd idea that somehow an old-style spring mattress is one-size-fits-all, that everyone will be able to use it. Well, that's insane. It's amazing how uniquely different people can be. Tall, short, big, small, there really are no two people alike. And that's why Sleep Number looked at the incredible diversity of people and decided to create a bed that lets you individualize your comfort. It's my bed, the extraordinarily comfortable Sleep Number bed. Now, my Sleep Number is 40. My wife, she's at 35. That exclusive dual-air technology allowing us to adjust to the support your body needs. Each side is adjustable, making it the perfect bed for couples. And there's only one place you'll find the Sleep Number bed, exclusively at a Sleep Number store where Queen mattresses start at just $6.99. Right now, during the Sleep Number year-end event, you can save 50% on the final closeout of the Silver Limited Edition bed. There are 400 Sleep Number stores nationwide.
Stop on by one of the 9 Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area Sleep Number stores, like the one at the Mall of America, Level 2 near Macy's. Tell them Matt McNeil from The Morning Grind told you to stop on in.
It's an absolute must for any true foodie. Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on-site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Samba Taste of Brazil offers you delicious fusion dishes that bring amazing flavor. From 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., try their traditional lunch specials, served fast and starting under $8. Their dinner menu specializes in Brazilian meats and seafood, made with authentic ingredients and complemented with a great wine selection. Friday and Saturday evenings, enjoy live music and shop Samba's Brazilian grocery store. Samba Taste of Brazil, 10th and Main Street in downtown Hopkins.
And welcome back to Green Rock Radio on AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, where we're trying to save the planet from ourselves. So, again, this show is about educating and motivating, and right now we're doing the wrap-up. We're going to go around and talk to each of our guests here and people in the studio. JT's been quiet this morning. JT, what's up, man?
I've said some things.
Said some things. Yeah, off air. Yeah, right back at you. Tyler Tracy.
Yeah, I've actually got a question.
I want to reintroduce our guest. Aaron Blythe is a farm manager of Big River Farms. working with doing farmer training, and he works a lot with immigrant farmers. Welcome back, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks.
It's been fun to have you on the show this morning, sort of, over the air, over the phone.
Yeah. It would have been a lot more fun if I had been able to been drinking vodka this whole time.
Trust me, it would be. Yes.
Agreed.
So anyway, Tyler Tracy had a question for you.
Yeah, I've got a question for both of our guests. I'm an apartment owner. I live in the cities, and I actually participated in a CSA when I was still living in the country, and we sort of had a drop location. It was about 50 minutes away from our house. But how can I, then, as somebody who's an apartment owner living in the urban area, how can I get involved in a CSA, and how does the model work for me? Do I just go to my local CSA drop spot and pick up a box of veggies every week? I mean, how can I get involved here?
There's a lot of different ways you can get involved, but like if you're interested in trying to find a CSA, again, the Land Stewardship Project has a great listserv. You go on their website, and there's a spot where they list every CSA that serves the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and you can go on there and has a brief description with usually a website to visit of the farm. But if you're an apartment owner, one great thing that, I know our CSA, we have a pretty solid amount of drop sites, and our hosts kind of come back each year, but CSAs are always looking for new drop sites, and if you're an apartment owner, you have an apartment, that's a perfect place for a drop site often. So, and a lot of times, like, we give our drop site hosts about a $150 discount for being a host, being willing to open their doors to members coming to their house every week. Usually they have to kind of check on a box or two that gets left behind every so often, or whatever it is. So that's a great deal. If you're interested in being a part of a CSA, you've got kind of a captive audience in your apartment building, maybe, and you're willing to let people come pick up who don't live in the apartment building, I would just find a CSA that looks interesting to you and give them a call and see what they can do.
Wonderful. Thanks for the info.
So you had something else you wanted to put out there, Tyler.
Well, I just wanted, we've been talking about sustainability and the importance of sort of lessening our carbon footprint and all of these aspects of our life. And Go Solar is, we're doing a class on the 26th.
You're talking about your Go Solar workshop.
Go Solar workshop. We're trying to get this out here, and we're trying to do this sort of the same thing that local farming is doing, which is bring this local, right? We source a lot of panels from China and stuff right now. We're trying to say that there are ways to do this here, to personal solutions, and ways people can get involved. And we're teaching a class actually in Stillwater, at River Market Co-op. On the 26th. So if you guys are interested in that, go ahead and
come
contact
out.
The co-op, and we'd love to see you and talk about some more of these ideas with you in person.
So you're going to be there doing just a...
So what's the class about, Tyler?
This is an intro to do-it-yourself solar.
Just right in the co-op? And it's a walk-in, or do you have to sign up?
Contact the co-op. You can sign up through the co-op. It shouldn't be too much of a hassle. But, yeah, we're talking about do-it-yourself solar. So solar solutions for the everyday individual.
Mm-hmm. Now, could people sign up on your guys' website?
Yes, you can go to our website, which is gosolarworkshop.com, and we've got a calendar of all of our classes there, too, if you can't make the one in Stillwater on the 26th.
Cool, thanks. Let's see. Mike Dital.
Dital.
You speak français?
No, not even a little bit. So. No, my Frenchness really stems from the fact that my German relatives a couple decades ago were really embarrassed of some pointy helmeted Germans. I think it was supposed to be Dietl, but just pretend that didn't happen. But no, I do want to say thanks to Aaron and thanks to Dale for having me on this morning, because this is, I love the fact that we're talking about the sustainability of local farms,
yes,
local solar panels, and this really brings it back as we're talking about kind of the load on the earth or the impact of the earth during these farms. It's not the tractors, it's not driving it from St. Croix to Minneapolis, it's your trips from California and Mexico up to Minnesota that uses fuel. It's artificially sequestering billions of tons of nitrogen every year that uses more of water and more natural gas than you can imagine. That's where our carbon footprint comes in. So these local and organic farms are, and this is what we really want to tap into here, it's honest, it's clean, and we want to keep it that way, keep it as close to home as possible. And that's kind of our, well, that's kind of how we want to help out. So
yeah, and we want to take it another step and see if we can do it with just electric tillers and local production of the soil, or modification of the soil, just from what we have And so we're going to play. First year, we're just going to play at it and see how much food we can produce. And
our carbon emissions will be based largely on how many beans we feed our workers.
There
That's
you go.
Basically what we're looking for. So.
And then there's always Beano for that. So.
Dale's going to have a lot of emissions then, huh?
And he has a crutch.
So you guys are ending the show on a high note.
Yes, it's a class act here. Hey, we're just getting real, man. That's what we want to be about because for me, I've gone to being a what's called a I don't know is it a locavore or a locatarian?
Whatever you made
I've
up,
given
yeah.
up. I've given up coffee, and I'm going on 2 weeks now. Woohoo! 2 weeks clean and sober. So I've gone to just local berry teas. I've got this a couple concoctions I make in my blender. I don't even know what they are. And
they're tasty though.
Yeah,
I got kind of drunk after I broke them.
It's from my yard.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm just kind of taking it to. I want to take it as far as I can take this. I'm using myself as a guinea pig to see if we can do it. And after the Gulf oil spill, I just said, okay, hand, gloves off. I'm taking this to the next level. I actually rode my bike for two to three years, with my kids on the back of my bike. Driving from Roseville to Maplewood, dropping one off, then taking the other one up to Shoreview, and then going to downtown Minneapolis. I was doing 60 miles a day on my bike.
Wow.
And it's amazing what you can do when you don't know what you can't do. So I was hauling, you can haul up to 1,000 pounds with a regular bike without any on flat ground. The average person can haul 1,000 pounds on a bike. You can go to bikesatwork.com. And they can customize a trailer for you to haul whatever you want. You want to haul a piano? Well, that's probably a bit rich. But if me and a couple guys moved somebody's house, and we moved refrigerators, we moved couches, moved everything on our bikes. So it's I mean, you can take this thing any way you want to take it. But for me, I'm trying to get fossil fuel out of every aspect of my life. That's my goal.
Yep.
So yeah, which I'm I hope I have luck with that. I'm trying.
Dale, I want everyone to go to our website, www.greenrockradio950.com. I'm going to have some of these resources listed on our resource page, and our archives of our past shows will be on there. So go on there, please.
All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our show. Again, thanks to Aaron Blythe.
And thank you, guys. That was great.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the show, Aaron.
Yeah.
All right. We'll hear you next week. On Green Rock Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Hi there, Matt McNeil from The Morning Grind. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend. This weekend, stop by the EatLocalMinnesota.com Restaurant of the Week, Hazel's Northeast on 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. Be back with us on Monday morning at 6 a.m. for a brand new Morning Grind on AM 950.
Say, that was a fine piece of journalism, boys.
Fair and balanced, not only a slogan, we actually live by it.
The Morning Grind, weekday mornings from 6 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire is a smart, direct, and fearless progressive talk show. Join me, Mike Papantonio, along with my co-host Bobby Kennedy and Sam Cedar, as we take on the large corporate conglomerates and radical right-wing media that dominate America's airwaves. Help us fight the pollution, corruption, and censorship that threaten the future of this country. Ring of Fire, Saturdays from 4 to 7 and Sundays 6 to 9 p.m. Only on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.